Will be Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARaise.net. So, there's a lot to talk about today. Two cards on Saturday night, UFC 242, actually Saturday afternoon, I should say, and then Saturday night, Bellator 226. So, a lot to talk about. A couple of fight announcements I'll get to at the end of the show, but I really want to talk about these two cards. Let's start with UFC 242. That was obviously the main course for the weekend, and wow, it was a pretty good card. The main card was really good. I think some of the prelims dragged on a bit, especially early on, but there were some good finishes as well. We'll start with the main event, work our way down. Main event of the evening, Khabib Nurmagomedov defeats Dustin Poirier via third round submission, rear naked choke, defends the lightweight title, unifies the lightweight title, and improves to 28-0 in his career. So just another fantastic performance here by Nurmagomedov. This guy's money. I mean, if you've been betting on him his whole career in the UFC, you've been making a ton of money. He doesn't lose. You don't bet against this guy. He does not lose fights. He's an incredible fighter. He's so efficient with his attack. He's just so hard to deal with. His ground game is amazing. Dustin Poirier's looked so good in his last couple fights, and he really couldn't deal with Khabib at all. There was a few points in the fight, I think, where Poirier had some success on the feet. He had a couple guillotine attempts on the ground, but Khabib was really never in any sort of trouble. It was a dominant performance by Khabib Nurmagomedov. Again, 28-0 now as an MMA fighter, including 12-0 in the UFC. So a fantastic start to his UFC career. I remember watching him when he first came to UFC back in 2012. He fought Kamaru Usman. That was on the UFC national card. I thought he was pretty good in that fight. And then he had that fight with Gleison Tibau, and a lot of people thought he lost that fight. And I never thought that he was going to be anything special until I saw the April Trujillo fight two fights later. And then I was like, wow, this guy's wrestling is something unreal. Goes out there, beats Pat Healy in Toronto. That was on the Jones-Gustafson card. I remember that one pretty well. And then there's that win over RDA. That was the one where I was like, whoa, this guy is really special. Comes back, fights Daryl Horcher after 2 years away, beats him. Then since then, he's fought like really elite guys. Michael Johnson submits him. Edson Barboza beats him up really good. Ally Quinta, last year, he won a pretty dominant decision there. And then, of course, the McGregor-Poirier submission. So this guy is just unbelievable. Again, 28-0, 18 wins by stoppage, no losses. He's amazing, man. And when I watch him fight now, there's two guys he reminds me of. He reminds me of GSP just based on the fact that he wrestles his opponents. He's very efficient with his attack, doesn't take much damage. But he also reminds me of Fedor. Not just the fact he's Russian, but the fact that he's got this aura about him now where it's just so hard to see him lose. It reminds me of Fedor in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, where every time he fought, you thought he'd win. And I feel like the same thing here with Khabib. I just have a hard time seeing him lose. I am pretty positive I picked him in every fight except for the McGregor fight. I don't know why I didn't pick him there, but I picked him in every other UFC fight. I definitely like this guy. I think he's special. Having said that, UFC, they haven't made this official yet, but Dana White has said that Tony Ferguson is going to be next. I think that's a fight that Tony actually has a chance in. And I know it's crazy because I just said you have to bet on Khabib's money. I get that. But I do think Tony matches up pretty well stylistically. I just feel like the odds came out, by the way. So Bet Online opened the odds, -300 Khabib, +250 Tony. Tony's on a 12-fight win streak himself. He's 15-1 in the UFC. He's no slouch. He's an older fighter, 35. He's obviously had a lot of injuries as well, but Tony has amazing wrestling, amazing striking, amazing submissions, great cardio, great chin. I think he matches up pretty well with Khabib. I think if the fight goes to the ground, Tony can give Khabib some problems. If the fight stays on the feet, I think Tony's better. So I actually think Tony has a really good chance in that fight. Will I pick him there? I don't know. I got to think about this one more. And there's still a chance that McGregor might get that rematch instead of Ferguson getting the fight he deserves and the one we all want. But, you know, that's the one fight I think that Khabib might actually lose just because of the style matchup. But we'll see. I mean, right now, the guy's undefeated. He's amazing. And, again, it's hard to see him losing anytime soon. But, again, styles make fights. You never know. And I think Tony has a good chance. Now, I want to talk about Poirier quickly. You know, this guy has worked his whole career to get to this point. And again, Poirier's a guy I remember back in WBC, and I didn't think he was anything special. Comes to the UFC, he looked pretty good in the first couple of UFC fights. He had some up and down performances at featherweight, moved to lightweight, and looked absolutely incredible for the most part, lightweight. But, you know, this was the pinnacle of his career. He wanted to win this fight so bad, he lost. And you know what? He didn't look great in this fight. Again, there was a few points in the fight where He did put Habib in a little bit of trouble, but not really. For the most part, it was Habib just dominating this fight. Now Dustin's saying that he's considering retirement. You know, I hope not. But at the same time, you know, he's got to this point in his career and he couldn't get the job done. So I can see why he's feeling that way. I feel like he still has plenty of gas in the tank. I feel like he could beat almost everyone else in that division. But at the same time, you know, if he's not feeling it, maybe taking some time off would be a good idea right now. He's obviously fought twice this year, twice last year, three times the year before, three times the year before. Like, he's never really taking time off. I think maybe it's a good time now for him to take, you know, 6-8 months off, recover his body, just recover his mind, spend some time with his wife and daughter. That's what I would do if I was Dustin Poirier. I don't want to see him retire personally, but at the same time, if that's the way he's feeling, then maybe that's what he should do. But personally, I'd rather just see him take a break. And I appreciate him not coming out and just leaving his gloves on the octagon floor like Gustafsson did and then 3 months later unretire. I personally don't really like that. I'm glad that Poirier is just saying, you know, he's contemplating it. But at the same time, I just feel like he's got so much more to give this sport. He's only 30 years old. But at the same time, you know, I know what it's like to get to the point of where you put so much into what you're doing and then it just doesn't pay off. You know, and not in obviously in MMA or in sports, but just in other parts of my life. I know how that feels and it's not a good feeling, but I can't even imagine what it'd be like for Poirier in this kind of a sport in MMA. And I don't think any of us really can. So, you know, I think we just have to respect his decision either way. The guy's an incredible fighter, great guy, great ambassador for the sport. If he wants to hang them up, by all means, then he should. But personally, I'd just like to see him take, you know, 6 months off, come back next summer or whatever, and fight someone else, you know, and just get back into that contender spot. I think he's just one or two wins away. And just say Tony Ferguson does beat Habib, then Poirier goes out there, beats, I don't know, Gaethje, McGregor, whoever. He's right back in the driver's seat. So, to me, he's really not that far away from title shot at this point, but he kind of needs Habib to lose. And at this point, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But either way, it was a really good fight from what I saw. You know, Habib was just dominant once again, but Poirier did have a few spots in the fight. They made it interesting. So great fight. And Habib, man, just I don't know what else I can say about this guy. He's just a special talent. And he actually, there's a chance he could retire as the greatest fighter we've ever seen. Who knows? I mean, we don't really know. And again, he's a guy who's talked to a little bit about retirement as well. So don't know what's going to go on with Habib. Don't know how many fights he has left. I would hope he fights till he's 40, you know. But at the same time, it seems like a lot of these younger guys are getting on the sport sooner these days, which is not a bad thing. It's a very, very tough sport. And I got to give Khabib credit. He made $6 million disclosed for this fight. That's amazing. And I think that's one of the highest purses disclosed ever in MMA, if not the highest. So good for him. He obviously deserves every single dollar he's been paid. He basically sold the pay-per-view on his back here. Don't know what the numbers are for this pay-per-view. I'm assuming they were pretty good, but it was an afternoon show, so who knows. But either way, definitely a solid main event. I think it lived up to the hype. Co-main event, even a really good fight as well. They didn't give out a fight in the night bonus, I should say. They gave out four performance of the nights. If they did give out a fight of the night, I think this would have been the winner. Paul Felder defeats Edson Barboza via split decision. These scorecards are weird. 27-30 for Barboza, 29-28 Felder, 30-27 Felder. This was a really, really close fight. Definitely closer than the first time these guys fought, where Barboza just lit up Felder. This was super close. It really could have went either way. I think 29-28, either guy's a good score. The fact there was 30-27 on the opposite ledgers, that's incredible to me. It's shocking, actually, in a way, because the UFC picked the judges for this card. They picked judges that are going to be that off. It just doesn't make sense. I scored it 29-28 Paul Felder. I gave him the second and third round. I think the first round 100% Barboza's, the third round is 100% Felder's, the second round is a toss-up. You go the way, you either go Felder or go Barboza. Barboza had the top control. Felder landed some nasty damage with his elbows, so that's where I went. I went with Paul Felder. You know how dangerous his elbows are. He cut open Barboza pretty good. So I personally scored it for Barboza, or for Felder, 29-28, but 29-28 Barboza, if you gave the second round, it's fine. I just don't understand 30-27 for Felder. Like, how do you give him the first round? That doesn't make any sense to me. Just extremely confusing scorecard there. I don't know. Like, every time I think the judges getting better in the sport, we have a fight like this. I just want to check out the MMA decisions right now. Well, you know, nearly every judge had it for I shouldn't say judge it. Nearly every media member had it for Barboza. Three had it for Felder. Again, I did have it for Felder very, very slightly. You know, I did pick Barboza, but it could go either way. But yes, round two was definitely the deciding round. I just don't understand the first round Maria Makhmutova giving it to Paul Felder. Like, how do you? I don't know too much about her. I'm just looking at her scorecards in the past. She's did a few events in Russia. She did the Fedor and Maldonado fight. Wow, she did that fight, eh? That's incredible. She scored in a draw, actually. Okay, so she had a good scorecard there because that fight was definitely a draw. If not, a 10-7 round, that first round for Maldonado. And then nothing else really controversial except for actually earlier this year, she scored the Antonina Shevchenko Roxanne Modafferi fight for Roxanne Modafferi, which is a really bad scorecard. Or actually, sorry, for Shevchenko, excuse me, because Modafferi clearly won that fight 29-28. She scored it for Shevchenko. So she's had a couple sketchy scorecards, in my opinion. There's no way this was 30-27. It was 29-28 either way. Either way, Paul Felder gets the win, and he moves into like the top five, I think, with this win. Not sure who's next for him. Maybe the winner of Gaethje Cowboy. That would be cool. I think he's friends with Cowboy. Don't know if they'd fight, but Gaethje versus Felder would be a pretty sweet fight. Really, anyone in the top five. For Barboza, I think anyone in the top 10. But I think this is probably it for Barboza as an elite guy. Even though if you think he won this fight, he's lost four of his last five fights at this point. He's still putting up good performances. Like the Dan Hooker fight was an amazing performance. But at this point, I don't think he's an elite guy anymore. He had a nice run to the top, but he's kind of tapered off as I wouldn't say a gatekeeper, but he's a little bit above that, but he's not an elite contender anymore. I don't know if Felder really is either, even after getting the win here, but for now, if Paul Felder moves on to bigger and better things, Barboza, unfortunately, moves down the ladder. Paul Felder's actually won five of his last six fights. The only loss there was to Mike Perry by split decision in a welterweight bout. So lightweight, he's actually won five straight fights. Good for Paul Felder. I like Paul Felder a lot. He's a great commentator and a really good fighter. So I'm fine with him getting the win in this one. I just think the scorecards are really wonky. Next up, Islam Makhachev defeats Davy Ramos via unanimous decision. This fight was pretty much a blowout. Davy Ramos had nothing for Makhachev in this fight. I think Ramos is a good fighter. He's got great submission game, but against a guy like Makhachev, so well-rounded, that's just a bad matchup. And Makhachev now is 7-1 in the UFC. So that's an incredible record, obviously. 7-1, six-fight win streak. The one loss to Adrian Martin is the only loss of his career. This guy's good. People have talked about him as being like the next Khabib. Who knows? I'm not sure if he's going to be a champ, but he's only 27. He does get better, it seems like, every fight. Time for a top 10 guy, though. I mean, Ramos was a really good opponent, but at the same time, he was not a ranked opponent. I think 100% this guy deserves someone in the top 10. Let's pull up the rankings right now. Let's see who's available. I mean, you could do Felder versus Makhachev. You could, because they're both on the same timetable. But I'm thinking more like Felder, like I said, against Gaethje or Cerrone, someone like that, Agüero even. And then you do Makhachev. I'm just looking at the rankings here. Well, I guess Hooker's fighting Agüero, so that's not going to happen. Alexander Hernandez, he might be available. He's a little bit higher ranked. Gregor Gillespie's higher ranked. Charles Oliveira. So any of those fights probably make some sense. Next up, Curtis Blaydes defeats Shamil Abdurakhimov via second round TKO. Man, this was brutally smashed open Abdurakhimov's face with an elbow, just destroyed his nose. I think it looked like Abdurakhimov actually wanted out of the fight after the first round. The referee just did not stop the fight. He went out for the second round, got taken down, beat up. Curtis Blaydes is a fantastic fighter. His ground and pound and wrestling is so good. He's 7-1 now in the UFC. Excuse me, 7-2-1 no contest in the UFC. So the two losses to Nagano. And then seven wins, four of them by knockout. And then she actually has that win over Adam Millsap that was overturned due to marijuana test. So he would be 8-2 with five knockouts. You know, the losses to Nagano obviously hurt, but the guy's a fantastic fighter. Probably maybe the best wrestling right now besides DC. And the ground and pound is probably the best in the division. The guy just destroys people and gets on the ground. Like, look at the Overeem fight. Remember that one? And this one's just as brutal. So he's got some really heavy ground and pound. He actually called out Junior Dos Santos after the fight, but the UFC announced yesterday JDS is going to fight Alexander Volkov. I'll talk about that fight later in the show. So that's not going to happen unless he wants to wait. Derek Lewis is fighting Blagoy Ivanov. I think the winner of that fight would actually be a good fight for Curtis Blaydes. I'd like to see Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis. I think that'd be a really fun fight. So he probably has to wait a little while, unless he wants to keep busy and then fight someone else. But if he wants to fight someone higher ranked, he's going to have to wait a little bit and see how the division kind of clears out. Opening up the main card, a big upset here. Carlos Diego Ferreira defeats Mayerbach Tyson via unanimous decision. And this wasn't even a close fight. This was the best performance of Carlos Diego Ferreira's career. Amazing performance. Like, I was so blown away by his volume, by his pressure. It was incredible. Tyson is a great fighter. He was on a six-fight win streak getting into this one. I thought he'd win for sure. And he goes out there, and Carlos Diego Ferreira just picks him apart in the feet. moves forward, just punches him, kicks him, did everything he could to put on the pressure and to lay in the volume. He landed so many strikes, and he attempted so many strikes in this fight. This is the breakthrough performance that I think Ferrer needed to get that top 10 opponent. He absolutely deserves it. For Tyson Mott, it's a bad loss because he's pulled up so many fights with these issues, with injuries. He obviously has a lot of work to do now to get back to where he was before this fight. But for Ferreira, 100% he deserves someone ranked. So don't know who it's going to be. Like I mentioned, those guys earlier, like Oliveira, Gillespie, Hernandez, they were looking for fights. But I absolutely think that Carlos Diego Ferreira is a top 15 guy, 100% now. After this performance, how could you not say he is? Heading to the prelims here, women's flyweight belt, Joanne Calderwood defeats Andrea Lee via split decision, 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. I think I had it for Calderwood, 29-28. It might have been 30-27. Pretty sure I had 29-28 as well. But either way, yeah, I thought she looked really good in this fight. Good wrestling. And it's just a mix of wrestling and striking that won her the fight. Andrea Lee, this is a bad loss for her. You know, she had that nice win streak, 7 fights in a row heading into this one. A lot of people were typing her up as possibly a next contender for Valentina Shevchenko, but clearly has a lot of work to do. For Calderwood, super inconsistent in the UFC. Win, loss, a lot of that. A couple, you know, win a few, lose a few. But this was a good win. She's won 3 of her last 4 now. The loss to Chukagian, very close fight. This is her 3rd fight this year, so she's keeping busy. I like that. Do I think she would give Valentina a competitive fight? No, not really. But in such a shallow division, I don't think she's that far away from getting a title shot. So probably 1, maybe 2 more wins, and she's right there for a title shot. For Andrea Lee, she's going to have to bounce back after this one. Next up, we had a rare split draw, 28-29, 29-28, 28-28 between Zubair Tukugov and Leron Murphy. You don't see split draws in MMA very often. This is extremely rare. So what do I think about this? I don't know. All I know is that it was a close fight. I thought Tukugov won, but it was super close. I'm not going to go and freak out the judges for this one. I'm a little confused where the 10-8 came from, but let me go check the scorecards out for that one. I want to see what they scored it exactly. Move our MMA decisions here. So we had 10-8 in the first round for Tukugov by David Lathaby, and then he had 10-9. I don't know about that one. I'm not sure. This guy actually has scored a ton of fights in the past. He did a lot of Cage Warriors fights. A lot of them in the past, so he's got a lot of experience, one of the most experienced judges actually in Europe. But I don't know, I had it for Tukugov personally, but it was super close. Just looking at the MMA decisions, most people had it, most media members had it for Tukugov. Don't know about the draw though, but it looks like some people in the comments were saying a draw is fair. I don't know, I'd have to go back and watch it, but I don't care enough about that fight to watch it. Either way, people that had money on the Ron Murphy at plus, I think, was he plus 400? That was a good bet because he was so close to winning that fight. But either way, Tukugov and Murphy go to a draw. Maybe they fight again. Maybe they move on to different fights. Not sure, but this was definitely a close fight. Next up, catchweight bout between Sarah Morris and Liana Jujua. And Morris pulls off the upset here with the 3rd round TKO, punches and elbows. Jujua did not look like she belonged in the UFC. Man, she did not look good in this fight at all. Just looked overwhelmed at the opportunity to fight in the big show. Morris took advantage of that, really laid into her in that 3rd round, gets the finish. She says she's a free agent now. Does UFC re-sign her? I don't know, because she missed weight for this fight. She did win. She snapped a 3-fight losing streak. She needed to win this fight to even have a chance to stay in the UFC. I feel like they're going to release her because she did miss weight, and they're going to say, we can't re-sign you because of that. And then she might head to Invicta if that's the case. But if they do re-sign her, I don't think it'd be the worst thing. She's a decent gatekeeper for sure at 135, and this kind of proves it, but what a bad performance by Jujua. She's really got to turn it around after this one. I think a lot of people, including myself, are extremely down on her now after being pretty high in her head into this one. Just a bad performance. And opening up the ESPN prelims, Odman Azatar defeats Team Pakulin by first round knockout. Great knockout here by Odman Azatar in his UFC debut. He landed a overhand right to behind the ear of Pakulin. Just bang, knocked him out. Great knockout. Wins performance of the night, 100% deserved. Great performance here by Odman Azatar. Very, very interested to see him moving forward. He's a lot of fun to watch. On the Fight Pass prelims, we had some pretty good performances and some meh fights, but the 2 standout performances include Bilal Muhammad finishing Takashi Sato in the third round via submission. Great performance here by Muhammad, who I believe might be the most underrated guy in the UFC right now at 170. There's a lot of guys that are underrated at 170, but Bilal Muhammad, look at his record now. 7-3, so that's a great record. And his losses are to Alan Jouban, Jeff Neal, and Vicente Luque. He has wins over Curtis Millender and Tim Means. Those are good wins. He's a very, very solid fighter. I enjoy watching Bilal Muhammad fight. Great fighter. This was a great win for him, getting the first submission win of his career. Also winning performance bonus was Muslim Salikov defeating Norlin Taleb via knockout. Brutal knockout. Taleb was just knocked out cold. Great, great performance here by Salikov. Two straight wins here by knockout for him. After a bad UFC debut where he lost to Alex Garcia, he got gassed out, got submitted late. Otherwise, this guy's looked great. And in his career, he has 15 wins, 14 by knockout. So he's a lot of fun to watch. He is 35. He's a little bit older, but great performance here by Salikov. And finally, the two opening fights on the prelims, they were not very good fights. Omari Akhmedov defeats Zach Cummings via unanimous decision. It was a snore fest. And same with the Don Madge Frost-EM fight. That fight was really bad. Really bad fight. I like Don Madge. I'm curious to see how he looks going forward, but this might have just been a bad style matchup, but that was not a good fight. So overall, I mean, there were some mad fights on the prelims, but overall it was a pretty good card. There were some good knockouts. I'd probably give it like an 8 out of 10. Definitely was an interesting card. And of course, it'll be remembered for Khabib defeating Dustin Poirier, but there were some really good performances on this card. And this weekend, we'll have Justin Gaethje taking on Donald Cerrone. So I'm sure there's going to be some good fights there. That'll be UFC Vancouver. And I'll be breaking that whole card with my buddy Cole Sheldon tomorrow on this podcast around 11 a.m. So looking forward to breaking down that card. But yes, UFC 242, that's in the books. It's over. Solid card. I want to talk about Bellator 226 as well. So I'll be going through that one right now. Another interesting card. There's some good fights. You know, I feel bad for this card and the fighters in this card because I felt like it kind of just went under the radar. And, you know, that's mostly Bellator's fault. I mean, you knew that the UFC had a big event the same day and you chose to put this card on the evening, like a showcase on DAZN. It is what it is. I don't know how many people watch this. I think a lot of people are MMA out. I personally did watch it, though, because I liked the card on paper. And, it was a pretty good card. So I'm going to go through this one. Main event of the evening, Ryan Bader and Chiat Kongo fight to a no contest. There was an accidental eye poke. Some people think it was a punch. I don't really know what happened. All I know is that Kongo's eye looked like it did close up. Rampage Jackson posted a picture later of his eye. Looked pretty red, looked pretty swollen. So unfortunately, there was a no contest in this one, and it snaps Ryan Bader's win streak at 7 straight fights. You know, he was dominating this fight, though, no doubt about it. Kongo didn't look like he had much of anything for Ryan Bader in this one. Kongo had the 8 fight losing win streak himself snap. So two guys with big losing win streaks snap, not with a loss, but with a no contest. Do they match them up again? Maybe. But it looks like Rampage Jackson wants to fight Ryan Bader, and he jumped in the ring after. He's obviously Kongo's buddy. He jumped in the ring, or the cage, I should say, and started a little bit of a brawl, reminded me of like a Strikeforce Nashville incident. It could have been ugly, but thankfully the security guards were there to intervene. Nothing bad happened. There's a lot of smack talk going on between Ryan Bader and Quentin Jackson right now. I didn't even think that was a chance of that fight happening, but you know what? Good for Rampage, man. It's kind of smart for them to do this. They fought before in the UFC, UFC 144 back in 2012. Ryan Bader won a lopsided decision. Rampage missed weight, and then he complained that Bader took him down. If that's how he's going to complain about that fight, imagine the rematch. Bader will just take him down again. So, you know, the fact that it's a heavyweight does make it a bit of a different fight, but I would pick Bader a heartbeat in that one. And if he does rematch Kongo, I'd pick him there too. This looked like Kongo had nothing for Ryan Bader. So don't know what Bellator is thinking here, but it's unfortunate that they had another main event and in no contest. Remember the Mitrione-Hiratana fight earlier this year. So that's never something you want to see if you're a promoter. And unfortunately, this is the way that the fight ended and the crowd went home unhappy, I'm sure. There was some really good featherweight bouts on this card. This was obviously the tournament. The quarterfinals. So Derek Campos defeats Daniel Strauss in an upset here, 30-26, 30-25, 30-25. This was a great win by Derek Campos, snapping a 3-fight losing streak, by far the biggest win of his career. Unbelievable performance here by Derek Campos. He really stepped up when he needed to. And for Daniel Strauss, I don't know what happened to this guy. A few years ago, he was arguably, you know, a top 3, top 5 featherweight in sport. And since then, he's just really fallen on hard times. He's 35 years old now. It looks like he's on a huge decline in his career. But yeah, for Derek Campos, he needed this win. He's 31, so he's a little bit younger. He has some decent wins in his career, but for the most part, he's acted as a gatekeeper in Bellator. This is the kind of win I think he needed to really show that he is more than that. He moves on to the next round, and I'm curious to see how he looks in his next fight and who he's matched up against. Next up, Adam Borks defeats Pat Curran via second round TKO. Kind of a weird stoppage here. It sounded like the bell rang and then Frank Trigg, the referee, waved off the fight. But either way, they're going to call it a TKO at 4:59 for round two. And Curran didn't complain at all. So Borks gets the win. I think Borks is really good. I picked him last week and I said that this guy's a good bet. I think he closed at like minus 140. To me, he was one of the best bets of the weekend. Pat Curran's a guy that I think is on a massive decline now in his career. Two straight losses for Pat Curran. Unfortunately, he was a guy that was one of Bellator's best fighters for a long time. But at this point, he's just a gatekeeper, nothing more than that. Next up, Pedro Carvalho defeats Sam Cecilia via second round neck crank. So Carvalho was one of the bigger favorites as far as these opening tournament bouts goes, and he gets the win over Cecilia. And Emmanuel Sanchez defeats Tyron Claxton via second round triangle choke. Great performance here by Sanchez. This guy is really underrated. He's an excellent featherweight, especially in Bellator. His only losses in Bellator to Pat Curran, Daniel Vaisho, and Patricio Pitbull, all by really close decisions. So he's an awesome fighter, and this was a tremendous win for him. We obviously have the second round of the opening featherweight tournament bouts in a couple weeks, and those are going to decide who the next matchup is going to be. So can't really talk about the next matchups, but yes, there are some good fights here. And also, I should mention the alternate bout opening up the card. Massive upset here as Daniel Carey defeats Gaston Blanos via first-round submission. Guillotine choke, choked out, Blanos cold. Huge win for Dan Carey. He was plus 775, so a massive, massive underdog. One of the biggest dogs of the year to cash, and Blanos was minus 1,200, so a huge loss in his career. I mean, he needed this win, and now Carey puts himself in good position. If someone gets injured, he's going to jump right in that tournament. So good for him to get that win. And overall, I think it was a pretty good card. Just the main event kind of sucked with the way it ended. Now, that was the main card. There was a ton of prelims. I did not watch the prelims. I was just kind of keeping up on them on Twitter, but it looks like there was a ton of finishes. John Teixeira defeats Ashley Grimshaw by TKO. Adam Piccolotti defeats Jacob Smith by submission. What else? Jessica Borga defeats Amber Liebrock via submission first round. This guy's name is hard to pronounce, but he beats James Terry via first round bulldog choke. So there was a ton of submissions, like a lot of TKOs as well. But yeah, a pretty good card overall. I feel like 20 fights is just too much. Don't write Bellator. Keeps putting so many fights in their card. And just look at the next one, Bellator 227 / Bellator Dublin. Yeah, look, another 20 fights in that card. And the card after that looks like there's about 15 fights. So I feel like they put too many fights in their card. But either way, it was a pretty good card. Okay, a couple of fight announcements. I'm going to get out of here because my voice is just completely shot at this point. I haven't been feeling very well for the past week. So unfortunately, guys, my voice is a little tired right now. I'm going to get out of here in a few minutes. So fight announcements, I got to mention this one first. Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal, that's official. UFC 244, main event of the evening. Amazing fight. Love this matchup. Five-round fight for the BMF title. It's kind of cool they're doing a custom title for this fight. It's kind of weird. I mean, they never do that in the UFC, but amazing matchup. I mean, this has to be five rounds, so I'm cool with that. I still feel like they could put a title fight beneath it. You know, Damon says they don't want to do that. They don't want to diminish the title, but they did that before. You know, I don't know why Dana's so stubborn about things sometimes. I have no problem with Usman Covington being the co-main event in this. That just means that Diaz Masvidal will be five rounds and Covington Usman five rounds. That's just my opinion. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it looks like there are some issues getting that Usman Covington fight signed, which is unfortunate because I think everyone wants to see that fight. But either way, Diaz versus Masvidal, BMF title on the line, UFC 244, November 2nd, MSG, New York City. What a fight. And that pay-per-view is going to do absolute bonkers. I'm sure that that's going to be a big pay-per-view for the UFC. I mentioned this earlier, but UFC Moscow, the main event is official between Junior Dos Santos and Alexander Volkov. I have talked about this fight previously. I think it was a few weeks ago. There was a Russian outlet that broke the news. So finally, the North American outlets are getting this, but UFC's made it official. JDS and Volkov, really good fight. Both guys obviously need to get a win here. I lean towards JDS a little bit, but Volkov has that length and reach, and he could definitely give JDS some problems. And finally, also on the UFC Moscow card, Roman Kopylov takes on Carl Roberson. Don't know a ton about Roman Kopylov. Let me pull him out here. Roman Kopylov, he is 8-0 in his career. He's making his UFC debut. Yes, I remember he was supposed to fight Christoph Jokor this year, got injured and pulled out of the fight. So 8-0 his career, has some good wins. And then Carl Roberson, he's coming off a win, I think, over Wellington Turman. Is that the guy? Yeah, Wellington Turman. He's 3-2 overall in the UFC. So he's been okay, but his ground game is definitely a problem. He's lost twice by submission. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, that Moscow card is definitely filling up pretty nicely. In the main event of the evening, again, JDS versus Volkov. It's unfortunate for Curtis Blades. He just called out JDS 2 days ago. Now JDS gets the fight officially booked, but either way, that's all good. So yeah, I think that's all I want to mention today. I'm going to double check on, to check and see if I missed anything. I guess just the Covington thing with Usman. I don't know what's going on with that. Covington's on Twitter talking smack to Usman now, saying he doesn't want to take the fight. Don't know what's going on there, but Usman hasn't fought since he won the title in March. It's September now, so was that 6 months? I think, you know, you get to like a year, you got to start thinking about pulling the belt from the guy. But at this point, I think he does deserve a little bit of time to get healthy and then hopefully book that fight. I think everyone wants to see that fight, and it's just sad that the UFC has not been able to put it together, but it looks like there are some issues with the champion there. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'd like to see that matchup. All right, that's it for today, guys. Once again, thanks for tuning in. I'm Adam Martin. Check us out at maodsberger.com with our YouTube channel. Also check me out at bjpanda.com, marings.net. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the latest in the world of MMA, as well as doing a second podcast with Cole Sheldon talking about UFC Vancouver. Have a good one, guys.